Welcome to the Positive Disciple Podcast, where we interact and learn how to be and make disciples in our normal everyday rhythm of life by obeying Jesus and practicing the positive habits that he modeled and taught. Listen, learn, and practice.
Hello, welcome to Positive Disciple, and this is the podcast where we bring to you lessons, experiences, testimonies, and generally stories from the field of disciple making. We have a lot of people who are getting excited about reaching out and making disciples of Christ in their everyday natural social networks. And we're so excited at some of the things that we have been learning together in relation to being a positive disciple maker. Just for this purpose of reminding, positive stance, P-O-S-I-T-I-V-E, the acronym stands for prayer, obedience, serving the needy, taking risks, initiating conversations, taking risks, identifying willing people, visiting and hosting, and then of course exiting with grace. And we would like to continue a series which we have been running, examining each of these practices or habits or culture of a disciple maker, if you like. And I'm very excited to have a friend here with me today who will be sharing with us on one of those habits of a disciple maker. So let me ask him to introduce himself and then we'll get on with the podcast.
All right. It's a privilege to be on this podcast. My name is Ali Samson, but mostly I'm called either G Feelings or OG. OG stands for Obey God. And I do disciple making in Nigeria, and I work with Activate, Global Activation, and I also work among the jungles, those places where it's plagued with drug, where people go to take drugs freely, sell drugs, do other criminal activities. And my passion is to bring light in dark places, especially in urban centers, and also to have a heart for all nations and to mobilize disciples from there to be able to reach the nations. So okay. Basically that's...
Wow, great, great. Very excited to have you here with us on this particular episode. Today we're going to be talking about prayer. The reason is because without prayer, we believe that nothing can happen. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And so we want to have a short discussion about prayer. You talked about reaching out in the jungles, and you've just given us a brief description of what those jungles look like. I'm sure that in subsequent series with you, we'll be unpacking the culture and nature of jungles. Yes, but tell us, what role does prayer play in your work?
All right, prayer is like... it goes along with everything we do, because I can't just follow things. Like, we use the DMM model, and we can't just follow everything the book says, because there are times that even though the book says this, when you go to the field, you meet challenges that are not in the book. Mm. So the only way to tackle it is prayer. So first and foremost, before we initiate
contact with the jungle,
yes, or with anybody or person of peace, mm-hmm. prayer is needed for us first and foremost to have the right perspective, to have a godly vision of because yes, we see the challenges, but it's in prayer that we pour our hearts to God, and mm-hmm. he gives us a godly vision, mm-hmm. and it's through prayer that we know exactly how to initiate contact mm-hmm. with the jungle. And it's also through prayer that we are able to meet that person, and then the person yields, because I'm one of the persons who believe prayer even alters human will,
yeah,
you know, towards God's will.
So what I'm hearing you say is that you don't take a step without first mm-hmm. investing ample time in prayer.
No, we don't.
So how do you pray? How do you pray as an individual, and how do you pray as a team? Give us a glimpse into... Mm-hmm. You know, your prayer pattern and all that.
All right. Well, for me, my understanding of prayer is communion with God. And just like the pattern of the Lord's Prayer that God gave us is first hallowing the name of God, His worth, His person. So I say prayer is focus. I focus on God. And more importantly, I commune with God. Prayer of communion is, Lord, I'm here. You are here. I love you. You love me. I want to have communion with you, Your Majesty. I try to be as detailed as possible, just like in Psalms. And then when it's time to engage in warfare, the Spirit of God signals me, and it is His Spirit within me that starts addressing issues. But most of my time, I try to discipline myself to stay in that place of communion, because it's a temptation to always. And then I pray in the Spirit. I believe prayer in the Spirit is not just speaking in tongues, but is yielding to the Holy Spirit to be able to pray through us. And then the next step is the warfare part. I start to declare God's kingdom, His will being done, especially in that community. And also, then I mobilize prayer. I don't joke with mobilizing prayer, because I tell people, when I engage a place, I don't take it lightly, because I know that it's not just those people who are enslaved. They are enslaved to a spirit.
Yes.
So there's a spiritual structure that ensures that status quo remain.
Can you describe that structure, what it looks like in the jungle to us?
Okay. So they are, first and foremost, they are addicts. Then they are drug dealers who benefit from the addiction of those people who come there to buy.
So would you say the addicts are like the victims in the jungle?
Yes, they are the victims, but the drug dealers are also the victims.
Okay.
Because they also have a false identity.
So there are two levels of victims here.
Yes.
The sellers and the users.
And the users. Uh-huh. And then there are cultists, like in our context, there are people who are sworn allegiance to a cult with the covenant of death, you know, who are also there to ensure that that status quo remain. And then there are witches and wizards who make incantations to make sure that evil keep happening in that community.
Those are like the spiritual gatekeepers, would you say?
They are spiritual gatekeepers, and even them, they are also supervised according to the scriptures by spiritual wickedness
in high places.
And then there are principalities. The book of Daniel also shows us that there are certain principalities that dwell in the second heavens.
So your warfare is targeted at each of these levels, this structure.
Yes, sir. It's targeted there, because when I go confronting this, whether he's a drug dealer or a cultist or a drug user, he is enslaved to this structure. And I understand that in the kingdom of darkness, they operate with a principle opposite of love, is hate. And they don't, it's force. They don't allow you to just lose a person or territory. It has to be a higher force. So when I'm engaging in that, I know that if this level is not able to sustain it, the distractors, resistors we meet there are actually just driven by that spirit to make sure that there's a diversion or confusion or whatever it is. So if I'm able to do the work in prayer, what I notice is that God takes care of all these things. Angels are being released. People's heart are more conditioned. Even if they want to rebel, the Holy Spirit convicts them of their sins. And then we're able to initiate good conversations against the will of their masters. And then they are able to
Prayer sets the agenda even before you arrive.
Yes, sir.
And prayer kind of helps to capture the spiritual atmosphere
so
that there can be breakthrough.
Yes, sir.
What about as a team? Because you don't pray alone. You just mentioned that you mobilize prayer. We'll talk about prayer mobilization later, but let's look at, how do you pray as a team? And do you have a team? Maybe I should start there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we do have a team and other teams on different levels, leaders, general assembly, and all that. And we meet, whether I'm there or not, they meet to pray, because they understand that prayer is essential to what we do. Not just initiating the work, but sustaining the work in fruitfulness. Like I was sharing with some of the guys, I said, for us, we have noticed that if you're praying and you are not able to you are not able to pray for whatever reason, you will raise leaders that don't pray. And you will always struggle in the work. When they come to give feedbacks, you will always be the one lacking behind, asking too much questions. But when you are praying, you will see that God is the owner of the work and he has a solution. So you will be seeing God giving you wisdom to be able to tackle things that you don't even know. And you can't even explain naturally. So that is the importance of that. And then stirring people's heart to pray by providing a condition of what is happening. Because it seems that a lot of people are blind, though they live in the communities. They do not understand, one, the level of decay and darkness. They do not understand also how to engage. Some of them are just overwhelmed. But with prayer and with also calling them to pray and presenting the facts to them, since God has sent you first as a first fruit, what I notice is that they are also able to be stirred to pray. And when they are praying, their heart goes there, and you realize that more power is made available beyond my own prayer, beyond even the team's prayer. You know, so we pray individually, we pray as a team, but we go beyond that. We mobilize other people.
Can you talk a little bit about that? How do you mobilize people, and are there willing praying people who will be willing to join in this whole drive to mobilize prayer? And how important is it? How why is prayer mobilization important?
Because to take any place, there's a price to pay. There's always a price to pay. Individual prayer, even when you check through revival movements in the world, reformations, individual prayer can only go thus far. Even in the Bible, individual prayer can only mobilize other people to pray, because there's a there's an outpouring or a reformation that God would intend to do. But until a particular critical mass commit themselves to to start praying, then so I feel individual prayer firstly is to stir other people's heart to join. And then when they join, it's critical. So now it's critical and important because there's a critical mass required to be able to pray together to bring a move of God. I can only do as much as I can do, because the Christian faith is a family. When I come into the Christian faith, I come into a family. It's not an individual work. Secondly, there are people that are willing to pray, but just like the Christian faith or any other thing in the world, there must be a person or a group of people who will first champion it, who will challenge people, who will go to meet them where they are at. And one of the challenges always is that the devil makes us feel that we are disturbing these people. So based on understanding of scripture, Jesus said the purpose of the house is for prayer, his own house. So one, our body is his own house, and the temple is, as we gather, is his own house. So we don't have any other purpose to do
but to pray.
But to pray.
So we should mobilize prayer.
Yes, sir.
As we begin to wrap up this particular episode, let me ask, for example, when you talk about prayer mobilization, I was just thinking of two instances when Jesus himself mobilized prayer. In Matthew 9, Jesus told the disciples, after seeing the multitudes and his heart being moved with compassion, Jesus says, why didn't Jesus himself pray alone by himself and say, let the Lord of the harvest send laborers? He mobilized at least 12 that we know of his disciples, and he says, pray. And then later on at the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus recruited three people and mobilized them to pray while he was also praying. So prayer mobilization is key. What role, let me say this in a different way. I've heard in DMM circles that prayer movements always precede disciple-making movements. Would you comment on that?
Yes. Because
and why is that?
Because somebody said that in missions, every result that has been seen is an answer to prayer. God is, like I used to say, God is praying right now. Christ, his primary responsibility is interceding for us,
yes,
to be able to come into the fullness and the purpose of Christ on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we do not do that, his own purpose will not be realized.
Mm.
But if I don't pray myself, I don't come into that purpose.
Yeah.
So it is very, very important to know, based on history and what is happening, that we have to pray. If we don't pray,
mm-hmm,
what will happen is that we'll be doing disciple making with our own strength.
Yeah.
And the Bible is clear, mm-hmm, by our own strength no one will prevail. I see a lot of people that work hard,
mm,
but and at the end of the day we don't see movements.
Yeah.
We don't see, and even when we see movement, we don't really see transformation.
And it doesn't last.
So transformation, deliverance, reformation. The truth is, we are not just praying for revival. We are not just praying for a reformation that we have seen a lot of it.
Yes.
We are praying that people will be true to Christ and walk in the purposes of Christ and with the person of Christ consistently, so that we don't have to be revived over again.
Yes.
When it has to do with mission, we don't need a generation
no.
that will start saying, oh, we need to pray again. Then it goes down again.
It's
we
a
need
consistent,
to sustain. Yes,
it's
sir.
A continual. Okay. One last word. Will you give us a simple and clear challenge as to the issue of prayer? I want our listeners to catch that spirit of prayer, the burden for prayer, and to, you know, commit themselves to praying for movements, praying for God's move in their communities, workplaces, university campuses, families, anywhere that disciples need to be made among the nations. Just give us a clear charge as we close this episode.
Okay, this is a clear challenge for prayer. First and foremost, there's nothing we can do in the Christian faith without prayer. Prayer is everything. Two things that talks about devotion. God only allows us to be devoted to him, but that same word is mentioned in prayer in Colossians 4, that we should devote ourselves to prayer. Prayer is not just because I want to engage the jungle. It should be what I do every time. And for some people, they're asking, they always like to ask, so how do I pray? Pray when you are sinning. Just pray all the time. Because the devil will always try to make you guilty when you do certain things and tell you to stop praying. It's prayer that is going to, it's a prayer of confession. Of course, those are different levels of prayer. But the devil will try to stop you to pray at all times. But the Bible says pray every time. And how to pray all times is devote time for prayer that you give to God, and pray short, pray long. But if you discipline yourself to be able to pray stretch prayers, one of the things is that you will be conscious of God's presence. God's presence is with you as a believer. Once you give your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. But the Holy Spirit has to come upon, not just within. So as you pray, when you start feeling and knowing the presence of God, you're conscious of it, so it helps you to have conversations with him at every time. So with that, you are able to pray for all things at all times, and even when you are sleeping. When you pray long prayers consistently, even when you sleep, you'll start finding out that you are not able to stop prayer. Your spirit will keep interacting with God's spirit.
Wow. Great. So you've heard it, and we're so blessed to be able to learn these things about prayer. Remember that there is no disciple making without prayer. There is no ministry. There is no mission without prayer. Actually, there is no spiritual life without prayer. So thank you very much, Ali, for taking this time to be with us on this episode of Positive Disciple. I'd like to also thank everyone who's listened today. Please send us your comments. Let us know what you are learning, how you are applying these things to your life and to your disciple-making efforts. Positive Disciple is brought to you by Global Activation, which is also known as Activate. And we exist to equip ordinary believers. We exist to mobilize disciple makers everywhere for the Great Commission. Jesus says to go make disciples. Just to remind you, we also have a blog by the same name, Positive Disciple. You can check out both past editions of the PD podcast, as well as writings, blogs that are on our website at www.globalactivation.africa. Check out the resources. There are audio materials there free for download. And then check out past editions of the blog and the podcasts. So see you next time as we continue to explore the whole issue of disciple making.
We hope you have been equipped in positive discipleship. Stay tuned for our next podcast and be sure to leave us a comment on what you are learning and doing to follow Jesus and make disciples wherever you are.